One of my favorite movies is Field of Dreams. Maybe you've seen it. If not, you might check it out. It's much more entertaining than the Cardinals are these days, so you can do that instead. It's a baseball movie about an Iowa farmer named Ray Kinsella who starts hearing voices calling him to do some crazy things, most famously to plow over his corn and build a baseball field there in his farm. But at one point later in the movie, the voice tells him to go from Iowa to Boston to take this former author named Terrence Mann to a Red Sox game. Mann had been an author in the 60s and now has become something of a crabby recluse. And so Ray goes to Boston, and the two of them are walking through the concourse of Fenway Park, having a conversation about some of the deeper things of life, including why Terrence has holed himself up in his Boston apartment. And before long, the two men stop walking, and Ray looks at him and asks simply, "So what do you want?" And Terrence explains that he just wants to be left alone, to have his privacy. And then as the camera angle changes, Ray says, "No, I meant, what do you want?" as he motions towards a hot dog stand. Context is rather important, isn't it? The same question, "What do you want?" requires a very different answer in front of a hot dog stand than it does when talking about the deep desires of the human heart. And context is very important when we read sacred scripture. If we just lift a line out of its context in scripture, we run the risk of misunderstanding or distorting our understanding of God himself. I say all this because something very beautiful comes to light when we understand the context for these consoling words that our Lord spoke to us in the gospel today. "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Those words bring great comfort to us as the Lord invites us to trust in him, to have faith, implying really that he's with us, that he will care for us. But the context of these words make the words even more beautiful and consoling. Because Jesus spoke these words on Holy Thursday night to his apostles in the upper room, right after they have celebrated together the Passover meal that became the Last Supper and the First Mass. In other words, our Lord has just washed these 12 men's feet, given them the supreme gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist, and ordained them to do this in memory of me. In other words, when Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he says so with a very close connection to this gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist. This is the source of comfort and consolation for the apostles 2,000 years ago, and for us today. That our Lord invites us not to allow our hearts to be troubled, not simply because he's with us in a merely spiritual way, knowing that we are embodied creatures, that we can see and hear and touch and taste and smell. He chose to leave himself with us substantially in the Eucharist, so that no matter what is happening in our lives, we don't only have to kind of cry out to the heavens, hoping God is with us, but instead we can come right here to where this red sanctuary lamp burns night and day and find Christ himself waiting for us in the tabernacle, saying to us anew, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And even more amazingly, so long as we are properly disposed, we can literally take him into ourselves in Holy Communion. What greater reason could our Lord have to say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled"? He's with us. And we know it because we can point to where he is here on earth. It makes sense then that right after this, he says, "You have faith in God. Have faith also in me." Because faith is this virtue that is supremely important when it comes to the Eucharist. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote famously in his great hymn to the Eucharist, the Tantum Ergo, that faith is that interior sight. Faith is the eyes of the heart that help us to recognize what the physical eyes cannot. What looks like mere bread and wine, after the consecration of the Mass, after we do this in memory of him, is no longer bread and wine. It is truly Christ, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. In other words, it is God himself. Faith tells us that. Faith in the very words of Christ, who said, "My flesh is true food, my blood is true drink." Faith in the very words of Christ, who at the Last Supper took the bread and the chalice into his hands and said, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood." And so, my friends, what troubles your heart right now as you come before this altar where shortly Christ will again be really present? It probably doesn't take most of us very long to answer that question. Life brings a seemingly endless string of troubles. Many times, thanks be to God, those troubles might be rather small in the grand scheme of things, but they're troubles nonetheless. Other times those troubles are quite burdensome. What troubles your heart this Sunday morning? Worries about your health, your job, your grades, your family, the state of the world at large? Discouragement at your own sins and failures? The seeming impossibility of ever living up to that high standard of God's commandments, not least of which is that call Jesus gives us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect? What troubles your heart right now? Bring that to Christ today and offer it to him. That beautiful second reading today, St. Peter reminded us that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Priests are not merely those of us who are ordained to act in the person of Christ here at the altar, but every one of us who are baptized shares in the priesthood of Christ. A priest is a person who offers sacrifice. And when we gather here at the altar of Christ's sacrifice, every one of us is invited to offer with him the sacrifice of our lives, including bringing here our troubled hearts as an offering with Christ to the Father. This is why, right before the consecration, I say, "Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable." Because we are all priests offering sacrifice here at the altar of Christ. Offer today whatever troubles there are in your heart, and allow our Eucharistic Lord to speak anew those words to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Find in him, truly, substantially present here in the Holy Eucharist, the grace to trust anew that he's with you, that he will provide, that he will care for you. It doesn't mean that he's going to make all your troubles just disappear at the snap of his fingers. It might mean a share in his cross. Jesus doesn't promise that life will always be easy or pleasant. But he promises that he'll be with us. And that we need not let our hearts be troubled, because that is true. And as we're reminded in this Easter season, even the cross ends in glory. And when we unite our crosses to his, they bear great fruit. We've just entered into the month of May, this month when the church invites us to turn anew in a particular way to our Blessed Mother. She is the perfect model of this kind of faith. And her prayers help us to find peace for our troubled hearts in her Son who is here with us in the Holy Eucharist. So let's ask her today to be a mother to us, to help us never to lose heart, but like her, to press on, nourished by the very body and blood of her Son, to the Father's house that Jesus spoke about in the Gospel, where we will discover finally what will truly be enough for us, the perfect joy of communion with the Blessed Trinity. St. Patrick, pray for us.